Have you had the opportunity of seeing that what seems to be a relatively new TV show called Alone? Whenever it's on, when a new season comes out, my family, we really just are compelled, it seems like, to sit around the TV and really watch this season. It's one of those that we sit there, we watch the hour's over, we're like, you want to do another one? Yeah, let's do another one. So we watch another one, we get through that hour, you want to do another? Yeah, let's do another one. And by the end of the night, maybe the end of the week, the series is over. You've gone through the whole thing. One of the things that is so interesting about this series is how they've built this series. They take 10 people and they take them out to remote areas in the wilderness, miles apart from one another, and drop them off. You get a list before you go out there. They get a list of all these different items, and before you leave to this remote area, you get to choose 10 items from that list to take with you. That's it. So they drop you off miles apart from one another in this remote area. There's nobody around. And they tell you this basic concept, this basic idea. Do whatever you need to do, these 10 items and other things that you might find while you're out here in the wilderness, but you do whatever you need to do to stay out here longer than any of the other 10 people that were dropped off. Whatever you can do, stay out here as long as you possibly can, and the last person to leave wins $500,000. Go back just a little bit. They take 10 willing people out here. People sign up to do this. They sign up willingly to go out into remote areas and to try to survive on these 10 things that they brought with them. They're out there trying to build houses, and it's amazing to see their creativity. They're building these huts, these houses. There's people that have made boats. Like, how on earth did you come up with the idea to make this boat? And how did you do that on 10 items and not one of them's a hammer? Not a single one of them is a shovel? Like, how are you doing this? Just the creativity that they're using to hunt and to fish. They're foraging in the land, trying to find food. They're cultivating the forest as best as they can. They're doing whatever it is that they can do to survive. But here's the thing. See, all 10 of these people have the same mission. They have the same purpose. Stay out there as long as you possibly can. And then there's this one little kind of twist. It's the title of the series. Alone. Stay out there as long as you possibly can. Do whatever it is that you can do to stay out there alone. Stay out there as long as you can alone. There's the series usually starts off with a quote from a famous person. One of the ones that has stuck out to me as we've been going through that series is this one by Amelia Earhart. Being alone is scary, but not as scary as feeling alone. There's something about being alone that's just not right. For some of you, the whole concept of this series is just completely foreign. Why on earth would you ever go somewhere like that where you're by yourself for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours? That just makes no sense whatsoever. And then for others of us, we're like, hey, that might not be a bad idea. I could probably handle that. Except here's the thing. That's not how we were created. It's not how we were designed by God. We're not designed to live alone. We're not designed to be on mission alone. God has designed us to be in community, and he's designed us to be on mission together, to have the same common goal, same purpose, same goal, same mission, and to work that out together in community. And we're looking at 1 John chapter 1 this morning. So if you have your Bibles or your Bible app, you can open up to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to look at those first 9 verses. And this is the Apostle John writing. He's the one that wrote the gospel of John. And in the gospel of John, we're able to recognize and understand the reason why he wrote that gospel was so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing, we may have life in his name. And as you come to his epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you see John kind of putting legs on that, on the fact that we have life in his name. What does it look like to live out a life in his name? What does it look like to live out that life? And so we come to 1 John chapter 1, starting with verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship may have fellowship, and indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Catch this. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we look at those first 9 verses, we read through those first 9 verses, like, man, there's some things there that sound a little familiar. As John writes that, it's a little familiar, this fact that God is light, that God being this light, and that he is in the light. And what we recognize that if we go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we see some similarities that are here. And I'm going to read through these first 14 verses for you. And as I'm reading this, I want you to pick up on the concept of light and even the concept of glory. Recognize, pick out those times when I read light and glory here. So John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Did you catch some of those similarities between 1 John and the Gospel of John? How talking about how God is light. The 1 John, how God is light. And in the Gospel of John saying, this light is Jesus. This light is the one who is coming into the world. And that this light gives life to everyone. And not only that, but this light that is coming to the world, this Word, it became flesh and has dwelt among us, that we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And look at what is this? What is this glory that we see? What is this glory that is being reflected by this Son that of the Father that we see? What is this light? What is this glory that we see? If you remember several weeks ago, Stephen was up here and he had the lamp and he was able to turn the lamp on and he said, hey, see this? It's a lamp. But he took us all the way back to Exodus, talking about the glory of God. What is the glory of God? And he took us back to Mount Sinai, where Moses is up on the mountain with God. And they have that amazing conversation. And in the midst of this conversation, Moses has the boldness to step up to God and say, now, show me your glory. And God's response was, I'm going to cause all of my goodness to pass in front of you. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. And we see in John chapter 1, Jesus is that glory of God. He's the Word has become flesh and His dwelling, He's dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father. We have seen all of His goodness pass in front of us through the life of Jesus, His Son. God is light. Jesus is light. We have seen all of His goodness as we go throughout the Gospels and read and study and see Jesus' life laid out before us. We see the glory of God. And we come back to 1 John chapter 1. And in verse 7, there's that encouragement that is given to us, God's people. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So what does it look like to live in the light? What does it look like to bask in the glory of God? What does it look like to live a life in the midst of all of God's goodness? It's living in that life-changing presence of God and allowing people around you to see that new you. Did you catch that? It's living in that life-changing presence of God and allowing people around you to see the new you. Maybe the best way to look at it is to go back and to look at Jesus and to look at His life, to look at what He said to us about what living a life for God is all about. What does that look like? And so He would encourage His people. He would share stories with us. He would give us some teachings, and He would say something like this. Someone comes up to you and smacks you on the right cheek. You turn and give them the other cheek. You're like, wait a minute. That's not what you do. that's not what you do. That's not what how we were raised. That's not the culture in which we live. And it's like, yeah, exactly. Living in the light, walking in the light is living in a way that is often countercultural. It's living a way that other people would see what you're doing, how you're living, and ask, why would you do that? And you get to have a meaningful conversation. You get to share who you were and now who you are. Or Jesus might say something like, someone comes to you and says, give me your tunic. And Jesus says, so give them your tunic. And then also give them your cloak. You're like, wait, that's not how this usually works. Like, exactly. You go above and beyond. He may say something like, someone comes to you and says, hey, would you travel with me 1 mile? And Jesus says, travel with them the mile, and then go with them another mile after that. You're like, wait, that you're costing me a lot of time and effort here because now I'm going 2 miles there. I got to come 2 miles back. Yeah, exactly. That's walking in the light. That's living in the goodness of God, recognizing that I'm not the most important thing here. I'm not the most important person here. That I can put Jesus first, I can put God first, and I can put others first in my life. See, that's walking in the goodness of God. So we ask the question, how do we translate that into the season in which we're headed right now? If you haven't noticed, there's some Christmas trees up out in the lobbies. We're heading into Rethink Christmas. I was talking to somebody out in the lobby earlier and said, hey, we're starting our Rethink Christmas. And they said, really? I haven't bought my turkey yet. Well, get on the ball because it's coming. This stuff is right around the corner. For some of us, this year has been moving way too fast. Time is just flying right by. We can't believe Christmas is on its way. There are some of us who are just like, this year has been going so slow. I can't wait to get through this next season. But what does it look like as we're moving into Christmas, as we're moving into our Rethink Christmas season, to walk in the light, to live in the goodness of God? And you know this. We live in a culture that is based on consumerism. It's based on material. We live in that kind of a driven world, a driven culture of more, more, more. Let's get more things. That things are more important than sometimes people. Consumerism can be all-encompassing to us, especially when we get around this time of year. Think about this. In 2021, the overall holiday spending in the United States reached $886.7 billion. Can you imagine? Just for Christmas. The expected average holiday spending this coming year, or this year in 2022, will reach $1,802 per person. And we're making consumerism and materialistic lifestyle easier for us. 43% of online retail sales in 2021 were made on our smartphones. We don't have to go to the store anymore. We don't have to go to our office and a computer. We've got our shopping right here in our pocket. And look what kind of a mess we've made. The number one recommended Christmas gift for 2022 is a sleep aid device. at all the anxiety and stress that we're causing one another, that we're causing ourselves based on what are we going to get so-and-so? What are we going to get our kids? What are we going to get our grandchildren? What are we going to do? Time's running out. What are we going to do? Because we got to get them the right thing. And you know, when you think about it, spending the resources isn't even really the issue. Matter of fact, it can be a positive thing that our society, our culture, we're willing to spend, right? We're willing to give of our resources. We're willing to give with what we have worked hard to get. The issue is what we spend that money on and why we're spending it on that particular item. The what and the why. What are we spending it on, and why are we doing that? It leads me to our Operation Christmas Child programs that we've run through here the last several years that maybe you're familiar with now. You're well familiar with the concept of grabbing a box and then the list of appropriate items that we can go through and buy and put in those boxes and send to some other country. And ultimately, it's not about the toy. It's not about the little shirt that you might be putting in there or the pair of socks. It's really not about that. It's about the gospel message that is shared through giving of the toy, through giving of the shirt, through giving of the little pair of socks, that they hear the good news of who Jesus is. So the way in which we live as we move into Christmas, as we go through our Rethink Christmas season, is to look different than the rest of the world. See, that's living in the light. It's letting our light shine in the world of darkness, looking a little bit different. So people see us out buying toys for somebody that's not your children, for somebody that's not your grandchildren, for somebody that's not your nieces or nephews. Well, why are you buying toys? And if this is not for your family, for your loved ones, why would you do that? Because we're living in the goodness of God. And we get to hopefully have that conversation of why we are buying those things. They see us, instead of buying another video game for our student, we're going to Entrance D and putting that money to a student experience for the summer that can maybe change their entire life. See, the reason, the purpose is more important than the gift. Or maybe you'll decide this Christmas season that time is your most valuable gift that you can offer this year. And so you're going to spend some time at Horizons preparing and serving a meal. Or maybe you're going to sit at one of the tables and have a meaningful conversation while people are sharing a meal. Even at Horizons, food is important, but it's not the most important thing. It starts with food, but the goal of Horizons is that there are meaningful relationships that are built that will lead to transformed lives as they learn more about who Jesus is. Or maybe you'll decide to give some time with a young teen mom at Young Life and spend some time and build relationship there that might change her life and maybe the life of her child. Or maybe you'd like to go down to Bella E's at Teen Reach and spend time with the student and tutor them and build relationship there that might change the trajectory of their future. See, that's living in the light. That's living in the goodness of God. And not only do we get to live in the light, but as our scripture text says there in verse 7, we get to live in this together. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, there's something about being on mission together. So each month at Madison Park, we collect an item. We got really creative with the name of this program. It's called Item of the Month. That's what all those grocery carts are, those small grocery carts are at the entrances to the building. At each one of those grocery carts, you'll find a list, and it lists there what each one of our items is every month of the year. This last month, we collected coats. And as a congregation, as a family, together, we collected 82 coats and 289 hats, gloves, and scarves. And those items are already being distributed throughout our community. And so thank you for being so generous in collecting coats and supplying all of those needs and allowing some of those in our community that are going to struggle with staying warm winter to have something, to have a coat, to have a pair of gloves, to have a hat. Now think about if I was going to try to do that all by myself. There's no way I was going to collect 82 coats. There's no way I would collect 289 hats, gloves, and scarves, especially the ones that were homemade. There's no way I'm going to do that. But look at what we were able to do together when we're in this together. See, we get to live and walk in the light together as a community and have a greater global impact for the gospel. So together, as we walk in the light through this rethink season, we're highlighting these ways, these three ways that we can make an impact locally, nationally, and internationally to impact the kingdom of God. And we're looking at one kingdom. So we're going to focus on Operation Christmas Child. We're looking at one generation where we can have offer student ministries and summer experiences and scholarships, some of those trips, so that students that aren't able to go or might struggle going can go. And one church where we continue our generosity through the local church for missional advancement. And as we go through the next few weeks, David and Tyler and our student ministry team is going to come, and they're going to unravel a lot of what those areas are for us and give a little more detail about what that looks like as we give in those areas during our rethink time and walk in the light together. Let me just give you a couple of examples of what we're doing. You see, during this calendar year, we have already given 1,000 packed boxes to Operation Christmas Child. So 1,000 students, 1,000 kids somewhere in this world are going to receive a gift, but more than that, they're going to receive the gospel message. We get to continue that through our Rethink Christmas. This past summer, collectively, we made sure that 224 students had a significant summer experience through student ministries trips. 224 students, we got to walk with them through that journey together as they got to hear more about the relationship that God wants to have with them in their life. We were able to support 4 young people from Madison Park as they serve internships in some level of ministry, 2 here locally, 1 nationally, and 1 internationally, 1 on the other side of the globe. And there's more opportunities in this coming year, and we want to ensure that those missionaries and those ministry experiences happen. So as we walk in the light and community, God continues to do great things. The message of his son Jesus continues to reach out of this building into our community, into our nation, and out into the world. Every season, 9 of the 10 contestants on Alone drop out or are removed from the competition. And I'm always a little surprised that those who drop out usually drop out for the same reason. They can't handle being alone. They just can't handle it. And you can see it coming. You're watching the series and you see it happen in one of the episodes. You're like, here it comes. This husband starts talking about missing his anniversary. This mom or this dad starts talking about, oh, we missed our child's birthday. We missed Thanksgiving this year. We're out here in this remote area. Missed Thanksgiving when I could have been around all of my family. Or it even gets to the point where they say, man, tonight, right now, I could be sitting around our kitchen table having supper with my family. And as soon as they start talking about it, you know, they're reaching for that satellite phone real soon. They're going to reach for that phone. They're going to call home base. And they're going to say, we're tapping out. We can't take it anymore. We can't take being out here alone. Because that's not how we were designed. It's not how we were created. We're not designed to be on mission alone. We're designed to be on mission together. To walk in the light together. To experience God's goodness together, to reflect God's glory together. And so as we continue to move into the future, as we continue to walk through this rethink season, we have this opportunity to make a global impact for the kingdom of God. As we walk in the light, as He is in the light, and we fellowship with one another. We walk in the light together.